Let me say it again. Hallelujah. Yeah, don't give up on God because he won't give up on you. God is able. I'm so glad that the Lord didn't give up on me. Amen. When I was in the grips of sin, when I was far removed from the peaceful shore, God did not give up on me. And simply, it boils down to just Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Amen. There ought to be consolation and comfort just in calling the name of Jesus. Amen. We ought to get excited when we hear the name of Jesus. Oh, y'all don't want me to, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is that rock in the wilderness. He's the bright in the morning star. I got to save some. Because I'm going to talk about him before we close. So. Amen. Come go with me this morning. So good to see all of you out to the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. I'm going to read one verse in your hearing. You're going to get right into the message. I'm going to ask you to stick with me because I'm not going to be long. Amen. And we're going to be moving right along here today. But there is a word from the Lord. I just want to say before I read again, thank you to all of you for your love, your support, your encouragement that you gave to Sister Mobley and I on last Sunday, for every ministry, every individual, every person that functioned in whatever capacity, thank you. And you'll hear it again, but thank you. Philippians 4. No, I'm sorry. I'm way off this one. I flipped it over to the wrong chapter. It is Philippians 1. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Bow with me, Father God. We come this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, for your many blessings, many benefits. We thank you for your loving kindness, O God, for your goodness to us. And we praise you, Lord, for your majesty, your glory, your sovereignty, for who you are. We thank you that you've allowed us to be here today to worship, O Lord. Thank you for the worshipers present. We pray for those who are away this weekend, O Lord, with family and friends who are traveling and just enjoying time with their loved ones, O God. Pray for traveling mercy. Keep them, bring them back safely, Lord. Now, Father, stand in my body, think with my mind. Speak with my mouth, Lord, that you may be heard today. I pray that you would bless your word, that it will go forth, that it will accomplish in the lives of the worshipers today, Lord, that which you desire. That we might all leave, O God, with an understanding that you are at work in our lives. Bless the time now. Use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Most kitchens have blenders, and blenders are designed to take different types of food, unlike foods, and mix them together, integrate them, unite them, amen, interface them to create something bigger and better than any of them alone could ever create. Amen. Blenders take items that are completely different and they crush them. They force them together and they started out separate, but by the time it's all over, those unrelated, unalike items have been amalgamated and they have been mixed together to create something big and something wonderful. What a cook does in the kitchen, God does in our lives. God is the consummate blender, if you will, because he can take those unlike things in our lives and he can mix them together and make our lives better than they were before he mixed those things. Because when we look at those things individually, they don't look appetizing, they don't look pleasurable, but God, when he begins to take them, so when sorrow or trouble shows up, don't be alarmed, because God can take those things and he can mix them with joy and peace and bring something beautiful out of that into our lives. God is able. And see, and I want to talk about something this morning that is very simple, yet it is very profound. It is one of those truths that God has begun a work in the life of every person who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And he is actively at work in all of our lives, because it is his design to make us just like his Son, to create us, to shape us into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, it doesn't matter how subtle that work is. It doesn't matter if you are aware of it or if you even acknowledge the fact that God is at work in your life. If you are a child of God, he is at work in your life. You can know that. You can understand that today, that he is working in your life as a child of God. Somebody sang the song, and I can't remember who or the name of it, but as they were singing the refrain, it said, he's making it work together for your good. And I don't know who it was, but somebody just kept singing that song, and I just kept listening to the refrain, and I kept hearing Romans 8:28, and understanding that God is at work in our lives to make things as he would have them be. So, as a child of God, always be mindful of the fact that when good comes, it's God. When bad things come, God is also allowing that to take place in our lives for that period of time. But God, as I said, can take those and mix them together and make something very beautiful in the life of the believer. I want to talk about three very simple points this morning. And like I said, I don't plan to keep you long. But the first one is from Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So point number one is those who love God. And I just want to start by saying it's not those who say they love God, but it's those who love God. How do you validate your love for God? It is through your actions according to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I have commanded you in my word. You'll follow my precepts. You'll follow the principles that I have laid down for life if you love me. And, you know, y'all heard me talk about Cousin George all the time. Cousin George used to say, you can make your mouth say anything. So it's not about what you say as it relates to validating your love for God. It is about what you do. Now, if you love God, God can transform your circumstances. That's what the Word of God says. God can take the good, the bad, and the ugly and make them all work together for your good. Now, you might want to write this down or store it someplace in your memory banks, because you're going to need it at some point in time in your life. And very simply, that is that in his divine providence, God orchestrates every event in life. In his divine providence, God orchestrates every event in life. Even suffering and grief, temptation, amen, sin, are used, amen, to accomplish both his temporal and his eternal good in the life of a child of God. And you say, well, how can suffering or how can pain work together for my good? That's a God question, and I can't really answer that. But what I will tell you this morning, that according to Romans 8:18, Paul says that these light afflictions, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will or shall be revealed in us. Paul is simply saying that when I look at my life, being shipwrecked, being snake bitten, being stoned, being whipped, being left for dead, these are all minor things. They are light afflictions, if you will, in comparison to the glory of God that is going to be revealed in those who live and know for and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As we look at the glory of God shaping us into the form of his Son, we do have to endure some things in this life. And it's all right, because the reward for living for God is far greater than any pain or discomfort that we may experience down here in this life. And understand, I'm not saying that these things are good, but God makes them work together for our good. And that is the key, that we understand that God is making them work together for our good. And then they're determined because God has a purpose for every child of God's life. You have a purpose, whether you know it or not, whether you recognize or understand that God has a purpose for your life. And his purposes are all designed for his glory and our good. Every purpose that God has related to your life has something to do with giving him glory and blessing you in some unusual way. And God has written his purposes in history, if you will. Amen. According to his divine, according to his eternal purpose, all of history has been written. God's purposes are predetermined and premeditated, amen, to work together for the good of the child of God. Now, you say, well, how did he do that? Well, God did it because he is sovereign, because he is God, because he has the power to do things that you and I can't even begin to fathom or to understand. God, before the foundations of the world, knew exactly who was going to be in Christian Charity today. God is not surprised. God is not bewildered or scratching his head because we're all here today. We're here because God predestined that be the case on this Sunday morning. So when you look at it, God can take us, those who love God, and he can make any event in our lives in his own unique divine way work together for our good. That is the power of God. And he does it because he has predestined us. Romans 8:29, it says, for God, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And you know, we as a people, we struggle with that word predestination. And many times we struggle with it because we don't always like what we see when we're going through stuff or when we're experiencing different things. Well, why would God allow that to happen to me? Why would God allow that to be a part of the life that he has predestined for me? Well, the key is that God has prepared all of us for a specific purpose and reason in this world. The other reason we struggle with predestination is because we look at how we were. Amen. We look at all of our sinfulness, all of our ungodly behavior. We look at all the lies and all the things that we did, amen, before receiving Christ, and we feel so unworthy of the blessings and the goodness of God in our lives. And see, I know, because see, there's some thieving thieves sitting up in here. Well, let me kind of rework that. Used to be some thieving thieves that are up in here this morning. Amen. There used to be some lying liars who are present this morning. There used to be some drug users. There used to be some people whose car could not pass a liquor store without turning in. There are some people in here who are former drug users, and I'll raise my hand, and drug dealers, and people who were neck deep in immorality, but such were some of you at that time. And that was before knowing Jesus Christ. That was before realizing the destiny that God had planned for your life. So let me help you out this morning. Before receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, most of us lived some pretty unsavory lives. Amen. But remember, God called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. He called you out of sin and incorporated you into his family. Amen. God, in his love and his kindness, amen, he called us from death row and gave us eternal life. Amen. And with that in mind, we became the children of Almighty God. We became children of light. We became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, parents, and we get it from God, though, when we have children, we begin to talk about who they're going to be. Well, he is going to grow up. He's going to be a superstar. He's going to be the next MJ. He's going to be the next Kobe. He's going to be the next Steph Curry. He might even be, God, no, LeBron James. That was for Gerard. And then for our daughters, well, you know, she is so beautiful. I know that one day she'll grow up and she'll be the next Miss USA, or she'll be the CEO of some huge corporation. Amen. And we just began to dream and we think all of those things, but it's because we got it from God. See, God said, when he looks at you and he looks at me, I know the thoughts I have towards you. I know that the plans that I have for your life, and they are plans for good and not for evil. Amen. To give you a future and to give you a hope. God has a plan for every child, and that plan was predestined in his divine will before you and I were ever born. That is God's plan of predestination for your life, and that is to do good to you and not to do evil. God saved you. God chose you to be a part of his family before you were ever born. That's deep, isn't it? And I know it's hard for some people to grasp and understand that, but according to the word of God, he predestined us to be a part of his family. And then thirdly, and I'm almost done. God called
each of us. Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And as we talked about predestination, it is very simple that God had marked us out. Amen. He had predetermined before we were born that we would be saved and be a part of his family. Amen. God chose each one of us. So after he chose us and time passed and we were born and we began to grow and to mature where we had an understanding of the gospel and the word of God, then God called each of us, not collectively, but individually, by our name. And his call is an effectual call for salvation. He calls us to be those children and representatives, those ambassadors for the kingdom of God in this world. See, he called us because we used to be slaves of sin. Called us to be slaves of righteousness. He called us not to be those who live according to the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit. God called us to be his children in this world. So if you know Jesus Christ and you are a child of God, it is because God predestined you and then he called you at the appropriate time. Amen. And you know, you didn't just happen to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You received him because God called you to himself. And then not only that, but when he called you according to the word of God, he justified you. And we know what justification is, don't we? Justification is being made right in the sight of God. You know, by his own purpose, by his own design, by his own power, when God looks at us, he doesn't see, oh, sinful me. He sees Jesus Christ because I have been incorporated into his body, and thereby, every time God looks at me, he sees Christ because he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that you and I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So not only did he predestine us and then called us, he justified us, but that's not the end of the story, because the word says then he is going to glorify us. Amen. And Paul says that these he also glorified, and Paul uses the past tense to put emphasis on the fact that it is something that will happen. He doesn't say glorified, but he says it because he wants us to have the certainty. He wants us to have the full understanding that one day this will take place. And according to the word of God, it says in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And we're going to be just like the Lord. And that is the day of glorification, when God changes these old mortal bodies and makes them like the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And won't that be something, that you have a divine, amen, body that is like that of Jesus Christ? God predestined us. Amen. And then he called us. And then he justified us. And ultimately, we're going to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I head to a close, let me just share a little story with you. I told you I wasn't going to keep you long, and I meant that. There was a man who had twin boys. And one of the boys was very negative. It didn't matter what he saw or what was done. His perception was always a very negative perception. He always saw the glass as half empty. Sound like some people we know. Amen. The other son was very positive, and he could find something good in almost everything. And the father was just scratching his head trying to figure out what made these boys tick. He was just trying to figure out why was one so negative and one so positive. So he decided that he would put them to a bit of a test, that he would see if he could just test them and find out why one was one way and why the other was another way. So he set up a room, and in that room, he put every toy that a child could possibly ever dream of having. And he put the negative child in that room. And then he set up another room that was stinky and full of horse manure, and he put the positive child in that room. And then he backed away and he waited a few hours and he went back. And when he went back to check on the negative child, he was sitting in a corner with his thumb in his mouth looking all sad. And his father said to him, "Son, what's wrong?" And he said, There should be some more toys in here. And I don't see anything that I just really, really want to play with." He couldn't find anything positive in a whole room full of toys that most children would love to have. He went over to the other room and he looked in, and the positive son was in there, and he had a shovel. And he was shoveling the manure, and the father said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm shoveling, I'm just kind of digging in the manure." He said, "Well, why are you doing that?" He said, "Well," thoughtfully, he said, "Dad, you know, I just figured if there's that much manure in here, there's got to be a pony down there somewhere." Well, he didn't let the stink deter him from trying to find something positive in a bad situation. And I just come to tell you this morning, one day there was a very stinky situation. That there were, humanity was covered not only with the stain of sin, but the stink of sin. And God chose to do something about our situation. And his son came down through 42 generations, and he died out on Mount Calvary for our sins. And he rose from the dead and went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty. But when he did it, Dr. Watts saw a scene out on Calvary's Mountain, and he wrote the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, and they lose all their guilt and stain. It is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that you and I stand pure and holy in the eyes of God." But see, what happened there, there was another question that was asked, and the writer said, "What can wash away my sins?" And the echo response said, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I heard somebody when they said, "It washes away stains. It washes away sin. I heard the writer when he said that it reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never, it will never lose its power. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that removes the stain and the stench of sin. And thereby you and I are made clean today. I'm glad. I thank God for the blood. Yeah, and see, if you are in a stinky situation and you need some help, amen, you ought to get out the prayer, get out the shovel of prayer and just start digging. And start digging with the shovel of the Word of God. Start digging in with the shovel of worship. Just start digging down in there. And in there somewhere, there is a purpose of God for your life. Somewhere down in there, there is a destiny of God for your life. If you dig deep enough, sooner or later, you're going to find the will of God that He has established just for you. We're going to find life. We're going to find life more abundantly. We're going to find joy and happiness. We're going to find that contentment that only comes through right relationship with God. You, if you love God, if you are called according to His purpose, every situation, every matter in your life is working together for your good. And it's because God is working in you. As I said, very simple yet profound. And that is that God is working in us. And I thank God. And I can agree with the old songwriter when he said, God is not through with me yet. And I want you to understand this morning, I don't care where you come from to where you are now, God is not through with you. When God gets done with me, according to the songwriter, I shall come forth as pure gold. And pure gold represents holiness in the eyes of God. And that will happen the day that Jesus Christ calls us to meet Him. God bless you. God keep you, as our prayer. As I said, remember this. God uses every circumstance, every condition, every matter in your life for His glory and your eternal good. Stand with me as we stand.